This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for IT professionals. For more information and to download other shows, visit ciaops.podbean.com. This is episode 23 with Arlen Sorensen and is brought to you by the Computer Information Agency. Visit us on the web at www.ciaops.com. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, we're joined by Arlen Sorensen from the US. Arlen, how are you going?
Good morning. Glad to be along this morning, Robert.
And unusually for this podcast, we have a foreign accent, but in our local country, which is great news. I hear that you're in Australia for an event. How are you finding it?
I am enjoying it. We're here in Sydney with the HTG 20 and HTG 21 groups that are having their quarterly meetings this week at the Marriott downtown, and it's been great to be here for the last 24 or 36 hours.
Yeah, it's excellent. So you've flown in, obviously, for a short trip. It's a long way for you to travel. Is this your only the only event you've come out for?
I'm also going to be speaking at the ConnectWise user group on Friday, so pretty much the entire week I'll be tied up in meetings here at the Marriott, and then we're actually going to head over to New Zealand for a few days on Monday and have a little holiday there.
Oh, excellent. So you can pretend to be a hobbit.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, it's welcome to our shores, and I'm sure that everybody who is going to attend those events in Sydney will get major benefit from that. But hopefully we'll be able to bring some of your experience and expertise to our listening audience. So what I'd like to start off with firstly is this concept of, you know, the HTG peer groups. You know, they've been around a while. You know, people have heard about them. Some people may or may not be involved. Do you just want to give us a bit of an idea and a background as to, you know, what the HTG groups are and what they're aiming to achieve?
I'd be glad to, Robert. HTG started back in 2000, so we're about 12 years old now. And it started as a result of a struggle that my own IT company was having back then to try and work its way through Y2K and the aftermath of that. So we were struggling with profitability, and it seemed like the opportunity to do business was starting to dry up. We were overstaffed for the amount of work we had to do. And actually, one of my employees at the time said, maybe we ought to talk to some other people that are in the industry and just see if it's abnormal, if we're doing something wrong, or if it's really kind of what's going on in the IT industry. So we called three other companies local to us there in Iowa and in the Midwest in the U.S. and asked if they'd come spend a half a day with us, just compare notes. And we got together that day, found out that they were all having the exact same problem we were. And it really taught us something important that day, and that is that no matter where we're doing business, you know, if we're serving the small business space, there's a whole lot of common issues that we have to address, and there's no reason that we have to figure it all out on our own. So that began our journey down the peer group path. And, you know, we had only one group for the first 5 years. It was a group that we had created for ourselves to basically help our company grow. Back in 2006, we began to get a lot of people asking if they could get involved with the peer group. It was starting to, word was getting out about what we were doing, and so we added a couple more groups in 2006, and we added up to group 10 in 2007, and figured out we really had something going on, so I knew I had to get some help if we were going to continue to grow that organization. So hired a few people. Scott Scroggin came and got engaged with us, and Christy Sacco, and a few other folks to help us scale. And today we've got 25 groups, two of which are in Australia, and we're excited about, and one in the UK. The others are all in the US Canada area. But you know, it's just a matter of putting people in a room together for 2 days each quarter to compare notes and help each other work through business issues. And it's been a very, very valuable and helpful experience in my own company, number one, but for all of our members as well. We're seeing significant growth as a result of things they learn from each other. And that's what it's all about, is sharing things we've learned ourselves so others don't have to learn them all on their own.
Okay, so the groups are just mainly focused around business issues, no technical issues?
Yeah, it's not a technically focused issue group at all. We certainly address certain pieces of that, but we really talk about four key areas. The first being business and business planning and strategy and how to really run your business. The second we deal with is leadership, how to actually lead a company and create a management team and equip and skill those people to lead and grow. The third thing we address is on life and life planning, trying to create that balance between the amount of time we spend at work and at home on things that we say are important to us. And then the fourth area that I'm particularly passionate about is the whole area of legacy or preparing for the future. There's just a lot of things that people need to be doing to get ready for the future and make sure that they've got a business continuity and disaster recovery plan in place to take care of their business, but also to have thought through those things around their life as well.
Okay. I mean, you talked about obviously some Australian groups there. How many members are typically involved in each group?
So both our Australian groups have 12 members. In the U.S., we have groups from anywhere from 10 to 12 members, but it's typically right around a dozen companies, all from non-competing geographies. So we try not to have any competitors in the room, so there's no concern about sharing information because we do ask each member to submit their financials quarterly. And they go into our benchmarking system so that each quarter they get a report that shows how they're doing compared to the other members in their group. And that data is very valuable to help you see if there's areas where you're sort of not doing as well as some others. It can help you point out, where the issues are in terms of areas where you're underperforming, spending too much money, things like that. It also compares you to the whole of HTG. So the report creates what's called the best in class, which are the top 25% of the members in each particular category. And so you're able to compare yourself with your group and also with HTG as a whole. And that really gives you a roadmap then on which levers you need to pull in your business from a financial perspective to help, kind of get the boat on the right path.
Okay, so I mean, in these regular meetings, who chairs it? Is it a HTG person or is it the members of the group? And how does a typical meeting function?
So each of our groups has a member facilitator that is tasked with kind of chairing the group and leading the agenda each quarter. So it's not HTG staff that run the meetings. It's actually a group member, another VAR that is running a company as their day job, and they help facilitate when we get together each quarter. But they help to establish the agenda. So each group sets their own agenda. There's a few things we ask them to include each quarter. So one of which is called the QBR, or quarterly board report, because we want them to think of their group as being like a board of directors. So they come each quarter with a report they've prepared, actually a PowerPoint presentation that includes some of the highlights from their financials. It includes the key issues they're trying to address and where they need help. It includes the goals that they've set from the last quarter. So at the end of each meeting, each member is asked to set three goals they're going to accomplish in the next quarter, and then they come back and as part of their board report, they talk about how they've done on those three goals. The quarterly board reports take a significant amount of the meeting time. Probably about half the time is devoted to those, where each member gets 30 to 45 minutes of very focused time where they've got 11 other people basically dissecting their business and providing feedback on the issues that they've got that they want to work on. The other portion of the time is spent on topics that the group might choose to prepare and talk about. So those can be wide ranging from, all kinds of things around marketing or sales, around compensation, around how you might manage your service department, you know, HR issues. Each group basically can select some topics that they want to come and have a discussion about. People will prepare those things. We have a SharePoint portal that the group members all belong with, and they're able to post their homework and their documentation up there ahead of time so people can review it. And we get together and compare notes, and it's amazing what you can learn from 11 other you know, smart people doing the same thing. And that's where a lot of the great ideas come out of. We typically also have a contest like that in most of our groups where they'll share one of the ideas they've used this that's really impacted their business, and we have a little contest to see which one the group believes is most powerful.
Okay, I mean, the businesses that are involved, do they have to be, are they of any size particularly? I mean, can it be any, you know, from a one-man band up? Is that sort of the aim?
No, our minimum bar actually for HTG is really around 8 people doing about $1 million in revenue. We have found that smaller companies just can't keep up with the pace of HTG requirements. Being out of the office at least two days each quarter, plus travel, you know, can take them out of the office for at least 3 days a quarter. There's homework that's got to be done, including the financial input and all that. So it really takes at least a week, a quarter to participate in HTG. And we've just found that, you know, it's just too expensive from a, not just a cost perspective, but more from a time perspective for a small partner. So we are going to address that. We're bringing back this year, actually, our online version of the program, which we had back in 2006 to 2008. And we had to discontinue it when Microsoft was unable to continue funding it back then. But we are going to bring it back in 2012. And that'll be totally targeted at folks with, you know, 10 employees or less. It'll be an online experience. It'll still be facilitated, and there'll be, you know, content delivered via the web, and they'll get together for monthly meetings of about 90 minutes or so, create small groups of around a dozen to 15 partners from non-competing geographies. Same basic concept. Only we're going to take the travel out of the equation so that smaller companies can have the experience but not have the cost of being out of their business for a week every quarter.
Okay, so obviously it's to the larger, you know, the slightly larger players in the market, I suppose. And, you know, look, that's understandable. As you said, you know, the smaller businesses are obviously pushed for resources. But on the other side, obviously, a lot of those businesses are the ones that probably need it the most. I mean, would you say that that's the case, or do you find that the smaller business just tend to be focused on the day-to-day? They're not so worried about the strategic side of things. Is that a generalization?
Well, definitely, you know, the smaller the company, the more engaged they have to be in the day-to-day because they don't have any other options. So they're definitely consumed by what's going on each day. But, you know, the reality is we find that in a lot of the larger companies that we serve, they're pretty chaotic and involved in the day-to-day stuff as well. And that's probably one of the key reasons why HTG exists, is to try to help people move out of, you know, working in the business constantly to at least spending some time working on the business. So we encourage them to get away from their day-to-day stuff, you know, a couple of days a quarter, and really focus on what it means to grow their business and prepare for the future. And we all tend to, you know, kind of be pulled into the chaos and the response to fires and all the other things that happen in the IT world every day. And we need to help these larger companies especially begin to build some management teams and other folks that can step up and take some of that load off so they can focus on strategy and preparing for the future.
So, yeah, you mentioned a lot of it there about strategy. I mean, you know, in your experience, I mean, what do people need to be thinking about? Obviously, each business is slightly different, but, you know, if you could give us some broad ideas in the areas of business strategy, I mean, what should businesses be doing, do you think?
Well, you know, the first thing that I believe every business needs to do, no matter what their size, is they need to begin to plan. And
You know, business, too often businesses are a reaction to what's going on around them rather than a plan that gets executed. You know, it starts with things like creating a budget and having a financial plan. It should include, you know, a strong understanding of the market that they want to serve, the kind of clients that they're trying to take care of, you know, creating a strong understanding of what the service delivery is going to look like. You know, as you're going to grow your organization, it becomes more and more important to have a very clear vision and mission statement so that people that come to work for you really understand what you're trying to accomplish. So there's a host of things that we find that are really important for growing companies to begin to get their arms around and to actually write it down. What's typically been the case for most of us is we have all that stuff in our head and we know what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we want to do it. And as we begin to grow and hire people, we assume they're just going to figure that out because they're, you know, they hang around us and they work beside us. But the reality is people don't read minds well and they usually misinterpret things. And it becomes really important that we get those things written down and that we review them regularly, which is one of the keys to what HTG drives, is that quarterly review process. So we're constantly looking at what it is we said we wanted to do and how we're doing along that path. And that's what employees really want. They want to know what they can do to help impact the business. They want to know how they're doing, impacting the things that they've been assigned. And they want to understand how the organization as a whole is doing. And so often we aren't very good about reporting that and doing the regular reviews. And so the business plan kind of gives us a foundation to do that. It gives us the, you know, the goals and objectives we're trying to achieve. And from there, then we can measure and see how we're doing in comparison to it and kind of keep ourselves on the path.
So I suppose a lot of thing around the strategy is obviously, you know, once you've done something, you just need to obviously be consistent about it. You need to, you know, follow up, do the metrics, you know, and I think that generally is the case. You know, the people get distracted by other things and they don't devote the time to maintaining their business. And that's where they get into trouble down the track, which is something that's very easy to do. And I suppose the whole idea with the HTG concept is again, in some ways it's forcing you to have to go through that process and make it part of your regular, regular part of your business.
Absolutely. You know, it drives the discipline that we all need to have as owners. The thing that I've learned from myself and from pretty much every owner I talk to is that we run our own business for one reason, and that is we want to be the boss, which is a great thing. The problem is that we are the boss and we do what we want to do usually. And what HTG helps to drive is doing the things that we need to do, not necessarily the things that we want to do. It's sort of like having to go to the doctor whether you feel sick or not, but since you're going, you know they're going to throw you on the scale and you know they're going to check your blood pressure and some other things. So you kind of do the right things to make sure that you're going to get a good report. And we find that the fact that you've got to come every quarter and stand in front of your peers and defend what you've been doing really does help to drive behavior that's good. And so that's one of the benefits of being part of a peer organization is that you are accountable to somebody other than yourself, because most of us as owners, we do what we want to do, not what we should do necessarily, unless somebody else is looking.
I think also too, the big benefit I would see is the fact that you get somebody outside your business. Like you said, you know, you've got this concept of what you think may work or what customers you want to serve. And really, until, you know, somebody challenges that, perhaps you aren't looking at something obvious, or you're looking at it through rose-colored glasses because you've got a controlled environment. So having someone totally externally outside sort of basically asking why can give you a good reality check and potentially, you know, prevent you making major mistakes.
That's a really great insight. You know, the thing that you get from a group of peers is you get perspective, and you get to see things through a different set of eyeballs than you look through every day. And this morning, as I sat in on the QBRs with a couple of the members here, you know, they would would make statements about why things were the way they were. And the continual question that came up was what you just said. Why? You know, why do you let them do that? Or why is it this way? And it's not so much that people don't know where their issues are. It's that they haven't really addressed them because they haven't looked at it through that whole why question. And we just kind of assume that that's the way it's got to be because that's the way it's been. And having other people that are there and don't see those rose-colored glasses can ask the really hard questions that can cause us to stop and take another look and say, yeah, you know, they're right. I probably should be doing something different than I'm doing. And just because I did it that way last week doesn't mean I should do it that way this week.
No, I think so. So let's just turn to the concept of leadership here. I think that, again, that's a very interesting concept in this sort of environment, simply because, like I said, you know, most business owners typically, you know, they work for somebody else for many years, then they got jack of it, then they decided they could do a better job, so they went out and started their own business so they could be boss and call the shots. And, you know, if they've been successful and they've done a good job, they've grown the business to, you know, two or three, and then, you know, four or five, and business has started to grow. And again, they've always been the one at the top of the pyramid. They've always been the one calling the shots. But, you know, in some cases, you know, do you think that perhaps they're not the right people to lead the organization, or do you see it more of a case of them just needing the right mentoring in the right direction to achieve that leadership?
Well, I think it can be both, actually. There are certainly very few people that run IT companies today that came out of business school and were trained to run a business. You know, I myself came up through the technical side and was an engineer, and one day I woke up and I had employees and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I think that's true for a lot of folks. There's a choice that you have to make at that point, and the choice really is, am I willing to maybe do things that I don't really want to do, you know, to learn how to lead people and manage people, which is a very different skill set than turning a screwdriver or fixing a machine and solving those kind of issues. People are complex and not as predictable as computers in many ways. So some folks will, you know, opt to bring somebody in to help them with the management side of the equation, and I see that happen very successfully with some organizations. Others will say, you know, this is my company. I founded this thing, and I'm going to learn how to lead it. And then it comes down to learning a whole set of skills and, you know, making some investments in yourself to learn new things and the right way to manage and lead people. And then hire people that you can create a leadership team with that can come alongside and help with key areas in your business. But it really comes down to that owner entrepreneur's choice and where they're going to be happiest. I see some folks that just prefer to kind of be the more on the infrastructure and technology side of the business, and they'll let somebody else kind of take that general manager role or whatever to run the people side, and others want to do the whole thing. So either way works. It's just a matter you need to make a choice, and then you got to make the right investment in yourself. So a lot of work.
Okay, so you're talking there about leadership, and obviously, you know, if we don't necessarily, you know, get involved in the HTG group, what's your recommendation for ways that, you know, we can work on ourselves and build our leadership and move into that sort of role?
Well, there's a number of excellent books out there today that you can read and begin the journey, for sure. You know, Gerber's book is an excellent place to start.
The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Yep, exactly. Jim Collins has some great book out talking about, you know, Good to Great and Built to Last, and a couple of those books are very good in terms of how you get the right people on the bus and how you manage those folks and what it really takes to create an organization that's going to sustain over time. Even though there's studies of much larger companies, those principles apply to any company. So there are a host of authors out there that have got a ton of great material in books. HTG also uses a lot of the material from the Gazelles group. Vern Harnish has got a great set of resources online on his website. You know, we've just spent a couple of days training a number of our members around their strategic planning tool, which is a document you can download for free and begin to work through some of the key areas to creating a strategic plan for your company. So there's a host of tools online as well as some video. ConnectWise has some great stuff on their partner portal that's available that address some of these areas. So there's a number of resources. There's not a shortage of those resources out there for people that are motivated to want to learn how to lead.
So I suppose, would it be fair to also say that, you know, no matter who you what stage your business is at, that, you know, the concept that you're bringing, obviously formalizing with the HTG group, is you need your peers. You need to start, you know, hooking up with people who are similar, sharing ideas in one way, shape or form, finding out what other people are doing. I mean, would you say that, you know, that sort of general peer networking is very, very important as well?
I absolutely would say that, yeah, you can learn an awful lot just by sitting down with other people that are doing the same kinds of things and asking questions. The key thing that I've learned over time is that every business is going to go through a very similar set of roadblocks and barriers that they have to overcome. When we analyze our HTG members, I can pretty much predict the kinds of roadblocks and barriers they're going to walk into, things they're going to have to overcome at some point in their journey, and it's really pretty predictable when they're going to happen, basically. So we all are going to face similar kinds of challenges. If you don't really communicate with other people doing the same thing, you have to figure every one of those out on your own. And that can be done, but it's painful, and we don't have to do it that way. We can learn by talking to other people that have already been through those challenges and understand how to shortcut that, basically. And so I'm a big believer that when you go to any kind of an event, you know, the real value is not content that's being delivered by the speakers necessarily. It's the hallway conversations. It's the time, you know, in the evening in the bar where you sit down with somebody and you just ask questions about the kinds of challenges you're facing in your organization today. And you work through those. You become a really good questioner and a very good listener. And that will help you to significantly shortcut the time it takes to grow.
I think, like I said, I think that, you know, the thing that you've done obviously is taken it and formalized it, and there's nothing to stop, you know, the smaller businesses or businesses that, you know, aren't involved in HTG setting up, you know, doing something on an informal basis. And I think that's, you know, a key to, especially in this environment with, like I said, I suppose, you know, a few years ago you had SBS 2000, SBS 2003, which were relatively, you know, small systems, and, you know, you could manage the whole lot. But if you look at the environment out there now, you've got, you know, SBS 2003 still out there, 2008, 2011, Essentials, Cloud, iPads, iPhones, Androids. I mean, the range is just huge. There's just no way you can keep across even that sort of information. So creating some sort of informal peer network on your own and being involved in that, I think, is you know, critical to business success as things are changing so rapidly.
Absolutely. You know, our industry is not getting simpler. It's getting more complex. And so the need to really interact with peers has more value every year. And there's already a number of different places that we can do those kind of things. You know, user groups and ConnectWise has got their user groups now. And you know, there's a number around Microsoft products or other kinds of things. You know, like I said earlier, we're going to bring back our online version of HTG to try and address this for partners, certainly in Australia as well as around the world. So there's ways to make those connections happen. But there's nothing wrong with calling partners, you know, down the street and around the corner and just having a cup of coffee. You don't have to share all your, you know, your personal business mojo to have a discussion with somebody. And you know, just sitting down and comparing notes with companies you may partner with or maybe not even in exactly the same business. I find that small businesses in general go through a lot of the very same kind of issues. And so you can learn a lot by sitting down with, you know, the guy that's selling cars or insurance or other things right there in your own particular market, and just see how they're addressing some of those issues. It can kind of jolt some thinking and give you a different perspective. And that's, you know, what the Vistage or TechMob has done around the world, is bring people from different industries together in a HTG-like environment of sharing. And, you know, they've got tens of thousands of members around the world that meet every month to do those kind of things.
I think also, too, the thing that I suppose took me a little while to appreciate was the fact that, you know, look, most people are willing to help you. Most people are more than willing to give you time. You know, if you go to them and say, look, you know, I'm wondering if I can buy you a cup of coffee, and if we can talk about business, or we can build this relationship, or I can, you know, call on you when I need assistance. It's amazing how many people will do that, you know, without any issue, without any hang up. The impression seems to be is that, you know, when you ask somebody that, oh, no, I'm too busy, or you're too small, or, you know, you're a competitor, I think that's, you know, it's actually the complete opposite paradigm. It's a case of people that, you know, are so keen, obviously, to share information and to help others, that people just aren't taking advantage of that.
You are so right, Robert. People love to help one another, and they all love to tell their story. You know, we all have a story. We've all learned lessons, and people love to tell their story. And that's really, really what you want to do, is you just want to sit down and give people a chance to tell you their story. And you can kind of prod that along and direct it by the questions you ask. But folks really are, they're willing. They're going to share some very good nuggets of information that can make a big difference. We just have to be willing to ask and make the time so that we can experience that.
Yeah, I think that's basically, like I said, it's just a matter of making time and being respectful of that person. But I think, you know, once you've done that, they're more than willing to share a lot of information with you, because, again, most people are genuinely out there to help you along. So, I think that's, again, it's just a matter of asking those questions. And, you know, what do they read? What are they looking at? Who are they following? That's where you're going to get that sort of information. All right, so let's just turn to the issue of say, life planning here. Obviously, that so many small businesses, or so many businesses generally, business owners get wrapped up so intensely with their business that it becomes their life in some respect. And then obviously, if they have an issue or a health challenge or a family crisis or something, that brings the whole thing into perspective. So what's your sort of advice to people in general around, you know, the life planning?
Well, the first step is that you've got to be willing to do it. And a lot of people avoid that whole issue because that's an area where they don't really want to be accountable. They would prefer to, you know, again, do what they want to do when they want to do it, and not think about, you know, the things that really matter. The interesting thing to me, and I know it was true in my own life, is, you know, when people would ask me what's most important, I would never say the business was the most important thing to me. Even though that's what my use of time showed, you know, I would sacrifice family and friends and everything else because of business issues and chaos. You know, if somebody would sit me down and say, okay, make a list of the, you know, things that are most important, you know, my wife would always come up there, and my kids and my relationship with God and all these other things. And then business would show up. But that didn't match up in how I lived. So what life planning does is really help us think through what we're going to do with our time. And the one thing I know for sure is that every one of us gets 168 hours every week, and there's no more, there's no less. Really, what it comes down to is, how are we going to use that time? And if we don't plan it, it'll just end up being used primarily on business or things that are not as important. We have to be intentional about using our time wisely on the things that truly matter. And so what we try to do through life planning is just get people to think about it. Some of the most powerful HTG experiences I've had have been sessions where spouses were in the room and heard the life plan delivered by their spouse, and comments of, you know, well, I didn't know that was important to you, or I've never heard you talk like that before. It's amazing to me, and I'm guilty of it myself. We don't share what our dreams and our visions and our hopes are for our life with the people that are right in the middle of our life. It's just like something we never get around to for some reason. And so actually writing down things that matter, really thinking about how we want to spend our time, you know, creating a bucket list of things we want to do someday, and then sharing that with the people that can help us get it done is so powerful. You know, our wife and kids and our business partners, they need to know what it is that we really want to accomplish with our time. And it can help so much in understanding of, you know, how we're going to spend that time and what's going to matter most and how we're going to prioritize what we do. If we don't plan it, I guarantee you nobody else is planning it for us. So it'll just vanish before our eyes. And the problem with time is once it's gone, we'll never get it back. So we have to use it wisely. I know I missed a whole lot of my kids' activities when they were growing up because I was out fixing some server that was down somewhere or trying to solve a customer issue. And I made sacrifices and trade-offs, but I didn't even really think about it. It wasn't an intentional choice. It was just what I did because I was the business owner. You know, we need to stop and take stock in what we're trying to accomplish with our time every day and make sure that we're spending it where we say it's most important.
I think you're right. And I think, again, you know, everybody who starts a business and was a technician and wants to do the best job for customers gets caught in that loop. You know, something, again, I've gone through myself, and it's a question I ask a lot of people in the industry is, okay, so look, you know, you're running a great business, fantastic, you're doing things down to the T, you know, very practical and customers really happy, but at the end of the day, why are you doing this? You know, why are you in the technology field? Why are you running your own business? What goal are you trying to achieve? So, you know, if you're making money, what's the money for? Is it, you know, better life for your family? Is it, you know, for a better house? I mean, I find it interesting that a lot of people in our industry can't actually qualify or have never thought about, you know, what am I actually doing this for at the end of the day? You know, am I actually making my life better? Or am I just got so involved in it that I've, as the e-myth says, I've ended up trapping myself that, you know, it's just something, I'm living a life I don't really want to live because I haven't got, you know, a goal of what I'm trying to achieve out of this.
That is so very true. You know, and what I find so often is people have never stopped and asked the question, why? You know, why am I doing this? You know, the thing that I've found is, as I've worked with, you know, hundreds of different people in our industry is that until they really are forced to stop and think through those things, they just keep doing what they did yesterday. They keep buying into that myth that, you know, hard work is what it's all about. And if I just get up and work harder and faster, you know, eventually I'm going to come out the other side and it's going to be easy. That doesn't happen. You know, we're going to come out the other side if, in fact, we have made a plan to do that and we've learned how to control what we're going to do with our time. I don't know of anybody that I've talked to that's been close to the end of life that has said, you know, I sure wish I would have worked more. The common thing you hear is, you know, I wish I would have spent more time with my family, or I wish I'd have done more things with my friends, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that I never got around to because I was always working. That's the kind of regrets I hear from people you know, weren't intentional about their time. And we're never going to look back and wish we worked more. Work will always get its share. What we're going to regret is that we didn't be intentional about the things that really are important to us. And that's where life planning can really become a critical part of our success.
Well, I think you're right. I think typically, you know, what happens is that people aren't confronted with those situations until they have, you know, unfortunately, usually something that that's major in their lives, you know, something negative, like they might have a health issue, they might have a family issue, they might have a financial issue. It's not until that suddenly, you know, rises up that they're suddenly forced to address this issue of life planning. Whereas if, again, they put a bit of time in beforehand and seeing that as part of the overall process, that sort of issue is more, would have been handled much smoother. But typically when, you know, some emergency crops up, then all it's, you know, they've got to scramble around and actually things are much worse because now they're under pressure to achieve a result or try and balance, you know, health issues and our business as well. So again, I think that's one of the lessons outside the technical that a lot of people don't heed is that they don't realize that, you know, for example, you know, you're only as good as you are to your, to be able to maintain your own health. If you can't stay healthy, well then, yeah, you can't run a business effectively.
Yeah, and I learned that firsthand myself a little over 7 years ago now. You know, I went in for a checkup and found that there was a little heart issue going on in my life, and so I went into the hospital to get a stent put in. And when they went in to do the procedure, they found that I had four blockages. So next thing I knew, I was waking up from a quad bypass. And it puts a different perspective on life. You know, every day I'm able to get up now, I'm just grateful to be alive. And you're right, it changes how you view the world. Because I realize that someday my life is going to end, and it can be sooner than later. And if I haven't been intentional about how I've spent my time, I'm not going to get a chance to fix it at the end. So it does tend to change how you see things, and it's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about making sure people think about it, because you can't think about it after it's over. You only get one chance going through, and if you don't use your time as you're given it, you can't go back and fix it later. So it really is important to stop and get away from the chaos long enough to reevaluate what you're doing with your life.
Well, like I said, and I think that's something that's clear, and perhaps something that people aren't potentially focusing on. So that's some good advice there. So I suppose for the final topic, let's talk. Obviously, something that you seem to be passionate about is the concept of legacy. I mean, what's the, you know, do you want to give us your you know, the spiel on why that's an important part of business?
Well, you know, my perspective is that when you run a company, number one, you've got a lot of responsibilities. So, you know, people like to run a company so they can be in charge and call the shots and all that. But with that comes a lot of responsibility. You know, typically you've got employees that, you know, depend on you. And so, you know, in my own case, I've got about 80 folks that are on my payroll, and I feel very much responsible to make sure that their families are taken care of, which means I need to be a responsible leader in my company. So on the business side, that means I need to have a disaster recovery plan in place. I need to have made business continuity planning a priority, so that there's a plan for how I would be replaced if something happened to me, or, you know, key leaders in our organization. There needs to be a plan that the business can continue and people can continue to take care of their families, and it shouldn't depend on whether or not I show up in the morning. So that's one facet of it that I think's a responsibility that each of us have as company owners. People depend on us, and we need to have thought through that. You know, the other side of the coin is that we're all going to leave a personal legacy too. Whether we like it or not, our life is going to leave an impact on others. And so I prefer to believe that it's better to plan what that's going to look like as much as possible and to prepare. One of the ways you do that is by first gathering all the information that folks are going to need if they're going to come along and try to take care of your estate or you know, finish out your story. It's amazing to me the number of people that have got, you know, money in different places. They haven't told people the passwords to get into things. People don't know where any of these assets are. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack a lot of times to try to figure this stuff out. And that's really unfair to the folks that are left behind. We just went through a situation with one of our HTG members in November. Got up on a Saturday morning, 36-year-old, healthy, went out on a dive like he did many weekends, never came back. I've worked with his widow and his mom to try and wade through the detail of, in their business. What a challenge. He'd been married for 8 months, so his new bride really didn't know the business at all, didn't have a clue where all the things were. And it's just been a battle to try and just keep this business operational and functional. He was the only guy that was authorized to sign checks, so they couldn't do payroll. I mean, there was just a host of issues that have haunted this widow since his death. And I guarantee you, when he got up that morning, he had no intention of dying that day, but he did. And the result is that now other people have got to try to come along and deal with it. So it happens, and hopefully it won't happen to anybody that listens to this broadcast anytime soon. But the reality is that it is going to happen to all of us. There's only a couple things I'm really sure of, and one of them is that we're all going to die, and the other one is that the government's going to take whatever they can. There's a lot of things we can do to, prepare for those things and take care of the people that are going to come behind and have to clean things up. So legacy has become personal to me, again, having faced death myself a number of years ago and realizing the impact that would have had, because I certainly wasn't ready at the time. But then having walked through it now with a couple of our HTG members, it's really a messy situation if you're not ready for it. And the reality is that while it takes work, it's not impossible at all. It just takes a little bit of effort and a willingness to face the reality of what's going to happen. When I ask people why they haven't done anything, a lot of times the answer I get is that I just don't want to think about it, which is, understandable. Nobody likes to think about those kind of things, but you have to think about the poor people that are going to be left to clean up the mess. There's nothing less fair than less or more unfair. And just leaving people with that and wishing them the best. You can shortcut a lot of those issues by spending some time writing things down and doing the preparation and the hard work ahead of time.
I think that, again, the spin that I would put on it is something that I've come to realize is that, typically most business owners are independent entrepreneurs. They've set up the business, they've run it, they're in control. They don't believe, they're masters of their own domain. I think that what many people don't realize is that, in fact, they have shareholders in their life. They have, family, they have parents, they have employees, they have business associates, they have, community-based organizations. So, again, the way I like to look at it is that, no person basically is really, totally a one-man band in life. There are shareholders who do rely on you, and it's important to acknowledge those in anything you do, whether it's, general life or whether it's in running a business, because, they are an important part and they do have some stake in your life and the things that you do.
That's a great observation, and you're absolutely correct. We don't live on an island to the point where, what we do isn't going to impact others, and it will, and we need to think about those people and take the necessary preparation to make sure that we leave a great legacy that won't cause a lot of struggle and issues for others.
Well, I think, I think that, like I said, I mean, that's sound advice as we've gone through on the whole podcast. I think that obviously we need to be respectful of Arlen's time. He needs to get out and enjoy the rest of Sydney as well as fulfill his commitment. So what we might do here is obviously just round off. If you just want to give us a summation of the HGG side, what we've talked about, what you think would be most important to, especially to those people who may not be involved with HGG at this stage. And again, just any resources that you could point people to at least get them started on the path.
Well, appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today, and for your willingness to talk about these important issues. You know, we are looking for good members in Australia and around the world. You know, so our traditional HTG program is really targeted companies, you know, eight or so employees and larger. You can get all the information, and our application is located on our website, which is htgpeergroups.com. We are rolling out actually in Q2, so sometime early this summer in the U.S. So in the May June timeframe, we'll be rolling out our online version, which is targeted at any size organization. You can also get information at our website about that. But we would love to have more folks here in Australia and New Zealand to get on involved with us. We're continually looking to add new members and to grow the people that are engaged. You know, if you choose not to be involved in HTG, I'd just encourage you to get involved with peers somehow. Take advantage of user groups or other places that peers go, and you know, go with an agenda of things you want to learn, and just ask people to sit down and share with them. You know, ask the question, buy them a cup of coffee, spend a little bit of time, and you'll be amazed, like Robert said earlier, about the willingness of people to share the things they know and have learned. Everybody is more than willing to help another. So make those investments and buy a few books and start the path of growing yourself in terms of leadership and leading your organization. The last thing for most is a lack of leadership, and it's a skill that you have to build. You're not born with it. You have to learn it.
I suppose, would it be fair to summarize, you know, if we can summarize it down to one thought, is basically the concept of taking time. You know, obviously you're doing your business stuff and the technology stuff, that's fine, but you need to obviously allocate time to doing some of the other important things, whether it's, you know, learning, growing your business, you know, working with peers, doing your legacy planning, all that sort of stuff, which is probably what a lot of smaller businesses aren't doing, or the business owners aren't doing, aren't taking time out to actually achieve these things.
Yeah, you have to be very intentional about that time thing, and you know, be willing to spend it doing things that are different than you've been doing. It doesn't maybe feel as productive. It can be actually much more productive than working on the technical challenge of the day. To spend, you know, and block an hour out to really just spend on learning and growing personally as a individual and as a company.
I think, like I said, if it's that important, and obviously it is after our discussions today, I think that everybody should take that away, is again, you know, just block an hour out in your calendar as though it was any other appointment, and you know, make the commitment to actually achieving, you know, achieving the goals in that area. And I think that through the, you know, that Alan would also agree that you do that, you're going to see the benefits pay off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's great, Alan. Again, we'll take this opportunity to thank you for giving us your precious time. We wish you all the best out here in Australia, and obviously safe travels back home when you do jump on the big aeroplane. And like I said, I hope that sometime down the track we'll also be able to tap you again and maybe take some more of your experience to the listeners. But on behalf of everybody who's listening, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Robert. I'll look forward to the next one.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a podcast from the Computer Information Agency. This podcast has been brought to you by the SharePoint Operations Guide. For more information, visit www.wssops.com. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.